Ruthie said she knew something like this would happen to me. She says there's something dark and Celtic in my ancestry, even though she knows that my family's Pennsylvania Dutch. Ruthie's a fine one to talk. She has her fortune told down on 3rd Avenue once a week, as regular as clockwork. And she won't go to work if our landlady's black cat crosses her path. Now she says she felt it in her bones. She says there was a kind of sulfurous smell in our apartment, but I'm sure it was only the stuff I used to mop the bathroom with. I told her so. All right, Madame Curie, explain it to me. Ruthie thinks, because I'm a lab technician for the Severn Research Foundation, that I'm a cross between Robert Oppenheimer and Albert Einstein. But even if I were, I couldn't come up with an answer, because nothing like this has ever happened outside of a Walpurgis night, especially to a girl like me. I'm the kind of girl who gets her bills paid promptly on the 10th of the month and sees her dentist twice a year. I bank a third of my salary, vote in the primaries, and cry at the movies. I love Valentines and children and early American furniture. Except for the mumps, I've never been sick a day in my life, and the only psychosomatic symptom I've ever shown was when I broke out in a rash the day I got engaged to Arnold. He says it was an anxiety syndrome, but I think it was my red woolen dress. I didn't contradict him, because he's a psychiatrist, and he ought to know. I don't hate my parents secretly, I have no power drives, and the only time I take a drink is when Ruthie and I have Christmas open house. So far, there's no explanation. Arnold is in no condition to apply the scientific method, and Ruthie just mopes around being Irish and spooky. So it's up to me. And I've gone over it and over it. It started on Valentine's Day. There was some chocolate cake left over from the night before, and I made myself some cocoa. It was a lovely, unwholesome breakfast. There's something about cocoa and snow and smoke from chimneys that makes me feel Charles Dickens-y and romantic. I called up Arnold and recited "Roses are red, violets are blue" at him, but he was sleepy and thought it was a maladjusted child he'd been treating. When he finally realized it was me, he wanted to know if anything was wrong. "No," I said, "I'm just feeling festive." "Fine." And then, with more of a lilt, he said, "That's fine." There was a pause, and then he coughed and cleared his throat. "Valentine's Day. There's a romantic significance, isn't there?" "Usually," I said.
"You'll be hearing from me,"
he said mysteriously, and hung up. I would have liked him to murmur a few things at me, but it was 7 a.m, and he probably hadn't even brushed his teeth. Besides, Arnold says the sensual graph is periodic and moves in a cyclic pattern, and that emotional relationships have to allow for the discrepancies of the parties involved. What he means is you're either in the mood or you're not. He wasn't. I confess, it took the wind out of my sails until I went to catch my bus. There was snow on the ground, and everything looked as though it were wrapped in white tissue paper. You felt that if you peeled it off, you'd find a spring hat or a dollar bill or a ticket to Paris. When I got to Rockefeller Center, I went into the florist's on the ground floor and bought one single daffodil in a little pot. It cost me $1.65. And since I needed a new lipstick and mouthwash, you can just set it down to late winter stirrings. Everybody in the elevator looked at that daffodil wistfully. One man, a sort of stockbrokery type, leaned over and inhaled it. "Perky thing," he said, sighing. When I got off at my floor, he said, "I wish you were going all the way to the top." But he wasn't being fresh. It just had that effect on people. When I got to the lab, I put it up on the window ledge. With the light coming through its petals, it looked like home-churned butter. Even Mr. Randall, who never makes a joke because he's head of the laboratory, made a joke. "Daffodils are yellow. Wish I were your fellow," he recited. "Primavera, eh, Betsy?" "Yes, sir," I said. "Well, I hope it won't take the starch out of you if I ask you to stay late tonight. The fragments of the Santa Clarita meteor arrived this morning." It had been in the papers for 3 weeks. First, the reports from observatories all over the country describing the spots and eruptions on the planet Saturn, and then the fallout of that great meteor in the Arizona desert. The crater it had plowed was almost 5 miles long, and it was filled with strange and glittering rock fragments. We felt pretty good about the fact that Severn Labs had been chosen to do the analysis on ore that might, just possibly might, have fallen through space for 1 billion miles, all the way from the rings of Saturn.